Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Temperatures Sunday at Acrisure will be a little bit nippy for the Steelers and Colts. Temperatures in the low 50s. We'll get into the 40s. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We are at Mike's Beer Bar because at 7:30 tonight, I will be getting my nipples pierced to pay off the ridiculous prediction I made 2 weeks ago when I said that the Bengals were absolutely not going to beat the Steelers, and I was so confident in saying that that I said I would get my nipples pierced if the Steelers lost. So here we are, and it happens tonight. One of the things I've been doing to prepare myself for this is I've been pinching my nipples at various times throughout the day to like try to build my pain tolerance up there. Like maybe like callus them. Not hairy callus, but you get it. Like
callus your nipples by pinching them.
Yeah.
And you like catch yourself by surprise. Do you have Amanda maybe give you?
No, Amanda hasn't tweaked me or given me a twister, but just myself. Okay, that one was on a scale of 1 to 10, like a pain of 2.
See, here's why
the next time I do it, I'll ramp it up to a 3.
I think this is a bad idea, though.
So I'm up to an 8 right now.
You can always control the pain tolerance, like the how hard you want to pinch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to really just like put it in somebody else's hands.
But don't you think that, you know, as someone that does long-distance running like you, you don't want to just roll out of bed and run
a
marathon. You want to train yourself.
Very sound
practice. That's what I'm trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. You almost have to do that thing that Ben Stiller did in Dodgeball where you like hooked up the like electricity to the nipples. He had that donut sitting there.
That's
and, like,
true.
And like he like tried to eat it. And he shocked himself.
Yeah, get like the car battery.
You could have tried
cables.
Doing that. Yeah.
I don't. The problem is I just still think the anticipation of this is going to be so overwhelming that you'll feel like all that practice went for naught.
You can still come down to Mike's if you didn't buy tickets in advance and be a part of this. The tickets are $33. That's how many points the Bengals scored in beating the Steelers. All the money goes to the McGee Institute for research and breast cancer research to try to obviously beat breast cancer. We had their CEO yesterday on, and he said they're now throwing around the word cure, and they got a vaccine that they're testing right now to beat breast cancer. So tremendous strides have
Help
been made
be part
right
of
here
that.
In Pittsburgh. Yeah. Mario Lemieux did. He donated a jersey, signed by him. Mason Heinschel did. He donated a football, signed by him. And there are some rumblings that the one Steeler I'm not mad at from that Steelers-Bengals game might show up and be a part of this too. So
wow.
I know. A lot of luminaries.
That would be very
What's
impressive.
Going on here, Don?
Oh,
we let
Don
out of the cage to produce here on
yeah.
site.
Yeah, I love this for the big guy.
I mean, I got to take advantage like you guys always
He's
do.
Got
you
a sail the size of his face.
Come down here.
Bigger than that.
You What'd order you order? Food. A little chicken salad.
You got to pick up the oil
that
and
does
vinegar.
Look good.
You got to put it over
here. Give
here.
Me that oil and vinegar right
yeah,
now, Don.
Yeah. I have bad thoughts
that could
about
be a
that
disaster.
Oil and vinegar.
You need more space.
Oh, look at this guy. He deserves it, though.
Kyle Duggar gets traded to the Steelers last night.
Yeah,
I do not get any of the excitement or optimism that Steelers fans have about this
Where
deal.
Where have you seen the excitement and the optimism?
Just
Twitter?
The idea that, he can't be any worse than the guys we already have. I disagree. Every Patriot person I've talked to who covers them and watches them says the same thing about the guy. He had a horrible ankle injury. and he's never been the same player since. And that's the problem. In fact, one of these people said, texted me and knew that I had been getting in better and said, now that you're in much better shape, I'm convinced that Kyle Duggar couldn't even cover you.
Oh,
he
good.
Is a horrendous cover safety. You remember our friend Andy Gresh, who was on talking about playing for
Pat Narduzzi in
college
at
Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Was on the Patriots radio network for a long time. Did a show with Scott Zolak, Donnie's friend from Ringgold High School.
My friend.
Well, he came on your show and did like a 30-minute segment. He was very good. Said this of Duggar. I said to him, everyone I talk to who watches the Patriots doesn't think Kyle Duggar is any good post-ankle injury. Would you agree with that? Gresh, sadly, yes. If healthy, he can help as a box safety, but the ankle did him in. If you guys can even keep him on the field for half a season, count your blessings, was his take on it. Another Patriots source. What's up with Duggar? He blows. Terrible. Never been the same since he hurt his ankle last year. He's been on the scout team for the first few weeks of the season. That's all Vrabel has trusted him to do. Third Patriots source. There's more. Same story as Jabril Peppers. He's much more of a hybrid slash linebacker type, and Vrabel wanted two center fielders. He had an ankle injury last year and played through it and was never the same.
So awesome. I think he'll fit right in. A guy that hasn't been good in a couple of years, used to be good, but fell off.
Best days are clearly behind him.
And is he over 30 yet or just right
he's
on the almost, doorstep
he's
of 30?
He's not 30 yet.
He's almost, though, Pony. I believe he's 29.
I mean, I think he checks all the boxes for the 2025 Steelers defense.
March 22nd, he'll turn 30, so maybe he can show up to your wedding and celebrate his last day of his 20s.
He can't move anymore. He's not a guy. We're watching games where tight ends are killing the Steelers, and their safeties are horrendous.
So do they sign a defensive back? Do they trade for a defensive back who can't move anymore so Darius Slay will feel a little bit better about himself?
I just think desperate times called for desperate measures is what happened here, and they knew they could get him for practically nothing. And he never got out of Vrabel's doghouse because he probably saw him in person and was like, yuck, this guy is not the player he was when Bill Belichick drafted him out of some obscure college that nobody's ever heard of, and then had the balls to give him a contract extension because he wanted to justify his zany pick. And the guy was a good player early in his career. But he also fits this description, too, for me. This is not a guy that's going to help their pass defense.
No, he's...
another run defense guy. And that's Mike Tomlin's obsession. He always wants to stop the run. He just stopped the run against Green Bay, and it still led to the Packers scoring 35 points in 20 consecutive passes being completed against them.
And that was because, of course, they couldn't tackle was Mike's pivot there. We didn't get guys to grasp quick enough.
I would say, haven't we learned our lesson where we're acquiring all these safeties who were rejected in the case of Thornhill and Clark by bad teams? The Jets didn't want them anymore. The Browns didn't want them anymore. Maybe the reasoning there for Steelers fans being, well, what the hell do those two teams know about players?
Well, they could have said Joe Hayden 2.0.
Right.
The Browns cut him loose.
The Chiefs won a Super Bowl with Thornhill. He can't be that bad. The Browns are the Browns is the Browns. All right, fine. What's the logic with the Patriots? They're a good team. Vrabel's a solid coach. We're now taking on both of the safeties that they
He wasn't a scheme fit there. Two center fielders, but we need a box
that's
guy.
That's what we heard about Peppers. And guess what? He's apparently not a scheme fit here either because all he does is play special teams. Had a nice game against his old team, played a lot in that game when they went to New England. We haven't seen him since. He's been in witness protection.
He just probably doesn't stop the run as well.
So Duggar's probably going to play because you don't give up draft picks and then not play a guy, although they kind of did that with Mike Williams last year. After a couple games where he was viewed strictly as an insurance policy.
If he does something that directly wins a game like Mike Williams did, I'd almost call it a win. Like if he had an interception somehow, which seems
because they didn't give up much for him.
I'm just saying they barely played Mike Williams. Mike Williams literally gave them a win. You know what I mean?
He
won't even have close to that level.
I also think the other part of this move that is off-putting and unsettling is it probably means that Deshaun Elliott is out for a long time. He got placed on IR, allegedly, right after this trade got made. So that puts him on ice for at least a month. We see the way the secondary plays without Elliott. It's like he's the only guy that's capable of getting everybody, corners and safeties, in the right position.
And then so, one of the only guys capable of being a sure tackler and playing with, like, a ton of
right.
juice.
So is Duggar going to come in and pick up the defense in a
no.
short amount of time and be the guy that – okay, so who does that job? Not just like the Deshaun Elliott come down and play the run well and, generally speaking, play with some balls and hit people and be around the ball and look like he's active on game days and, you know, playing unlike some of these other
great,
guys. Who
great question. Who's going to do that? I don't know. It seems like no other team in the NFL that I see has, like, so much issue getting their guys lined up properly. Like, okay, who's your green dot guy? All right, after that, who's your other guy who's
well, the,
getting his
the,
little
The issue
thing?
Is, without Elliott, they don't have another guy who primarily plays safety now who they think is good enough to be on the field for all the plays. Everybody now is a rotational player. Clark's a rotational player. Thornhill's a rotational player. Pepper's a rotational
seems
player.
Kind of funny that
Duggar
you,
rotational player.
Seems kind of funny that like the coach wasn't tamping down talk that they could be one of the best defenses ever when they apparently had one functional safety to come into
I mean,
year.
Donnie, don't you agree? That's why Tomlin basically made it sound like the loss of Elliott was
crushing.
Like a deflating blow to the entire team. Because clearly, even though Ramsey's out there for every play, he can't do that job.
Nope.
If they felt like he could be the guy that set the defense and aligned it properly, he would have been doing that from day one. And he wasn't. So is he going to start doing that now? I don't know. Maybe. But unless this guy's going to come in and play virtually every snap and master the defense where he can tell the corners what to do and what the play call is, I don't know, man.
How are I've they got this disjointed with the play calls when you've got former players like Harrison and Hayden who've been there saying that if anything, they've dumped from what they can see. They've dumbed down the defense to try to get guys out on the field more quickly. So how do those two things exist side by side? You've made the defense more simplistic, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And yet you're at a complete loss as an organization to find a guy who can get everybody lined up. Like, do you not practice? Do you not have walkthroughs? Do you not have installs? What the hell do they do in training camp?
It is jarring to me how much communication is a problem. And we know that the home games, they always make the excuse about the loud crowd, whatever.
Thornhill did.
But it seems like every single time we have players looking around in a panic. And it normally happens, I'm not saying every play, it normally happens in the most important plays of the game, which ends up hurting because then there's somebody who isn't where he's supposed to be. And then
or I feel like third and longs.
Place.
Third and longs are tough for them to stop. Teams want to get you defensively. They want to get offenses in third and long. I feel like the Steelers stop third and short better than they stop third and long.
Well, because there's a better chance that a team might run the ball and then Mike can just sell out.
Yeah, and it's like they don't even have to think about it.
No, it's just play downhill. The minute a team gets into a spot where they're going to run some like interesting route combos or concepts, then boop,
look,
done.
We've all been on Twitter for a very long time. We know what social media is. But it's just so funny when deals like this happen and you just see the Steelers fans, of which I would count myself obviously among that crowd. People that say, oh, we back. You know, oh, we back here.
Weren't you the
Kyle
guy that
Duggar.
When the MVS thing happened, you said something. First you said, like, does he play safety? But then you said, Steelers fans, can't you imagine Marquez Valdez
no.
catching big touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers?
I didn't
Rodgers?
Say can't you. I said can you.
But can he play safety? But then you did, like, another tweet that was, it was like his highlight day. But it was, Steelers fans, can you imagine MVS catching big touchdown passes from Aaron Rodgers?
And what happened with that?
I don't know.
He was here and now he's not here?
Very confusing because then multiple people put out that they were signing him. Fowler, your buddy Jordan Schultz, I think maybe even somebody else like Rap Sheet put out there.
Then Jerry said they weren't.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that it will eventually.
Well, he also put in there this week. Does that mean once we hit like next Monday, here comes the signing?
Possibly. He's just basically like on retainer. They're just paying him, like, to be a standby right now and just wait? Possibly.
I guess.
He's not on any other team's roster.
Batco just tweeted this in the last 10 minutes. He said, Marquez Valdez-Scantling can still run well and make big plays, according to Aaron Rodgers, but added if he thinks that MVS might want to be on an active roster, and if he wouldn't be signed to the active roster here right away, then he'd try to go elsewhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. And my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike's Beer Bar for our Pony Pierce's cancer event. 7:30, I'm going to get my nipples pierced because of my horrible Steelers-Bengals prediction. And hopefully a good time is had by all. A good time will definitely be had at my expense. And I'm fine with being the sacrificial lamb for a cause like this. At least right now I feel that way. We'll see at 7:35 if I'm still
in the
same jovial spirits.
You're going to run through the gamut of emotions. Like, I don't mean to make light of it. It's not like you're not sick or anything, but I think you're going to go through that, like, when you get really bad news, the bargaining, all that stuff, denial, anger, bargaining, accept. Eventually you'll get to acceptance right before that needle hits.
Somebody asked me today if there's a chance my nipple will explode.
What do they think it is, like a balloon filled with liquid?
I don't know, man.
Do people not, like, think before they ask you this stuff? I am, though. Every time I
said no, I've never heard of any, like, piercing gone wrong stories where that happened.
I got to say, like,
why are you grabbing your nipples right now?
It's just making me uncomfortable thinking about poor old you. You're going to get pierced here.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You can listen to Starkey every Wednesday and hear about his card of the week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It's time to talk to our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst, Matt Clement, who's told us in the past that he has always been a card enthusiast going back to his days. But even before he became a big leaguer as a kid, he loved cards. Matt, a little birdie told me that you have a lot of LeBron James cards. Is that true?
Yeah, I made a pretty good investment on some LeBron James. A lucky investment, I'll call it. He was my used to be my favorite player, I'll say, until the decision happened. Mm-hmm. And when I was rehabbing my shoulder injury, and it would have been his second year in the league, I introduced myself to eBay and made some purchases along with some other bad ones along the way, but the LeBron ones have definitely paid off their value compared to some of the Maurice Jones, Drews, and Jarius Norwood and Greg Jennings I took at the same time.
I don't know why Jarius Norwood being in
this. So wait a minute, Matt, like, how much do you think you ballpark paid for those, and what do you think their value is roughly today, if you had to guess?
Ballpark paid, I would say, because I probably at the time when I did it bought 50 to 70 different cards. Of the high end ones, they're like autograph ones, there's probably 8 to 10 of those in there, and some were graded. And I would say ballpark for the autograph ones, I never paid probably more than $50 to $80. And the straight up base cards and different things like that, I'm sure I was paying like $25, $30.
So and what are they worth now?
A lot.
I don't think he wants to say. I think it's one of those they're
Come
worth
on,
so
Matt,
much I
tell
don't
us.
Want to say.
Well, there's just so many of them. Like, you know, there's so many different kinds of different, you know, they're worth thousands of dollars, I can tell you that.
It sounds like he could send a child to college for 4 years on how much these are worth.
Wow.
Could I send a child to college what they're worth? I haven't currently looked. He's not as hot right now as he was at one point. Just because of some of the drama that follows him around. At one point during COVID, I probably could have. Right now, I'm not sure.
Did you get yourself some, like, Wemby cards when he was a rookie?
Ooh.
No, but the other pretty good move I made that's relevant at the moment right now is I for about a two-week span in spring training coming off his first Tommy John, I did buy myself some Ohtani.
I knew you were going to say that.
Wemby was too expensive like there was no value in buying the whammies, even though I think like I was very interested in doing it, but like there's got to be a point of you got to get them, and his cards have never been cheap. Cheap, but even like realistic.
Our boss, Craig Riley, he apparently is one of like the only people in the world who made a reasonable amount of money off of NBA NFTs. He said he put a deck on his new house because he bought NFTs. And
what are NFTs?
Non-fungible tokens. Before the rug got pulled out there, it was like you could buy a moment. Luka Doncic hitting a game-winning
three.
And
you didn't actually have a hard copy
of it. No, it was the whole concept.
Just a picture of it.
Yeah, the whole concept
online.
Was completely absurd. Craig made like, I think, almost five figures off of them.
Wow.
Yeah, and then he got out before the when the going was good. Matt, I have to ask you this basketball question, though.
Yes.
So you said LeBron was your favorite player till the decision. Favorite is not the same as best. Is he the best player you've ever seen?
No, it's not even close. Jordan is number one. No argument. It's a tough one. I can't even take reasonable criticism on this one or from the other side. I just go to 6-0 in the championship and didn't have to move other places to help him win championships.
He wasn't anything special in the playoffs till Scottie Pippen got there, but this is a sports show in Pittsburgh, so I will refrain from having this argument until we can have a couple beers and do it.
Matt, how about the World Series? A couple quick questions on that. 18-inning games that last more than 6 hours. You cool with that, or do you think they should take the runner starts on second base rule and use it in the playoffs?
No, I think in the playoffs, that's part of the intrigue of it, honestly. Like, I love what they do in the regular season. I didn't think it was a good idea in the regular season originally, but I get the idea behind it. But it's the playoffs. That's part of the, I think it just brings so much into, like, last night, right? Those starters, it was so apparent that those starters last night went, like, they had to go a certain amount of innings to make that game to help for the rest of the series, to maybe, like, win the series. Like, those two pitchers last night, if one of them gets knocked out in the second inning, that might be the difference in this series.
Yep.
They both made it through seven, but, like, some of those arms, I mean, how great was it that Yamamoto was going to warm up after throwing a CG the game before? Like, is that probably safe? No, but I just, like, you want to gain some respect for somebody? That dude just threw two back-to-back CGs in the playoffs, which hasn't been done forever. And he's going to warm up to win that game in the 18th inning.
What about Ohtani getting something not even Bonds got? The four intentional walks treatment?
Yep.
Just getting treated more, what's the word I'm looking for? Deferentially and more fearfully by the opposing team than even 0-2 era Barry Bonds got, Matt. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, he's one of a few people ever to, like, get walked with nobody on.
Would you want to do that?
Because that's an admission that your manager doesn't think you can get him out, that he's going to do damage. Like, would be an ego blow to me.
I think, to an extent, yes, it is. But also, it's like how can you argue with it? And with what he's done, I mean, his last seven official plate appearances at home, he had five homers and two doubles, and that's mixed in with all the walks that were with it, and. You know, it's a situation where, like, it's a close game. I can't let this guy beat me. The amazing part is, like, the Dodger haters of the world who want to say how bad Ohtani is or whatever the case may be, they're like, well, he has two Hall of Famers batting right behind him. That makes it even more incredible that they're walking him and showing, like, the respect that they have for him right now.
Matt, we had Jason Mackey on our show a few days ago, and he heard through the grapevine that the Pirates' payroll for 2026 is going to be $90 million. What do you think they can win with the payroll at $90
million? Well, I'll try to take the positive end of this. You look at the Rays, there's a $77 million last year, and they didn't have a great season, but they're usually in the mix. The Guardians were $100 million. They had a miracle get in the playoffs with that, which is $10 million more. And then at 110, you had the Brewers, who we all know their success, and the Reds, who made the playoffs. So is it possible to make the playoffs and make a run at those numbers? Yes, you kind of have to be perfect. But then the other side I'll look at is this. That's a $90 million payroll. I don't know what Paul Skene's salary is next year, but if he was getting paid what he's worth, that's like a $30 million pitcher, at least right now is a $30 million pitcher. Cy Young, back-to-back All-Star starter. So you can kind of add – we'll say we're adding $25 million on schemes. So she, the 90 basically is 115 right there. And if he even performs like 80% of what he's performed of in the past. So that makes it a little bit, I guess I'm trying to be on the bright side of this thing. Is it going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be hard. $90 million compared to these teams. I mean, everybody thinks this is David versus Goliath. Toronto has the fifth highest payroll right now.
Yeah.
It's $239 million. Like, you don't win without spending money. And the people, that's why I give the Brewers so much credit, because they've figured out a way to win without it. I don't give them slough for losing in the playoffs, because, gosh, what they're doing is amazing how they've been able to do it. So, and they're talking about they're getting rid of Peralta, they're saying already. And that's their number one starter because of the money side of things. So, is it possible? What can they do? Yeah, they can, because I think the fluctuation of what the salaries should be worth of those pitchers that are in young contracts, even Jared Jones coming back, could make this salary feel more like 130 or 140.
Matt Clement, our 93.7 The Fan MLB analyst. Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right. Thanks, man.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Florio, I think, an Easter egg in that clip we played from his show, PFT Live, when talking about have the Steelers gone numb to the Mike Tomlin message. An obvious shot at me, because he knows I can't use a numbing agent for tonight's nipple piercing event. I think he sneaked that in there because he knew we'd play that clip. And he knows I like to kind of psychoanalyze things people say. That's my litigious nature coming out.
Read between the lines. Oh, you'd have been one unbelievably annoying lawyer.
And so I hear
that practice.
And I'm thinking he dropped that in there because he wanted to remind me that I'm not going to have the aid of anything to numb me this evening.
Possibly. I think that's a very good theory that we can ask him about. I'm more worried about Mike's safety right now.
Oh.
I hope that the national media, the Tomlin Cognoscenti, didn't like shoot one of those poison blow darts in his neck after he said that, after he actually leveled a criticism of Mike Tomlin.
I'm a little bit surprised Chris Sims, who is usually a very vocal defender.
I would have expected Rich Eisen to come in like Kool-Aid Man and put him in a straitjacket.
Having been around Mike when he was in Tampa, when Mike was early in his career as an assistant, I've heard Chris sing the praises of Mike, that he agreed that maybe the message has gotten stale. Mike Florio is at Steelers Packers. We watched him Sunday night, and now he's back with us, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, how close do you really think we are to what you laid out there in that point about another horrible defensive performance, another loss, and maybe Art Rooney starts to rethink his marriage with Mike Tomlin?
I still think there's a gap that needs to be bridged between whatever the reality currently is within the team and Art Rooney having any thoughts about possibly making a change. You know, it's their thing. We've had three coaches since 1969, and when that becomes your thing, when that becomes your identity, you become even less inclined to shed that, because that's the one thing that they can claim that shows that they aren't dysfunctional, as all these other teams have a revolving door. Look at the Titans right now. The bad teams don't have stability. So if we have stability, we must not be a bad team. I don't know if that's the logic, but I still think whatever the facts are that may be staring everyone in the face won't register with Art Rooney, or if they ever do, he'll be the last one they register with. And look, I've been a Mike Tomlin proponent and defender and advocate for years. I argued back in 2007 that he should be hired. frankly, I wish the Vikings would have fired Brad Schobers and promoted him to head coach in 2007. But we do get to a point in the NFL where it's just time for everyone, arguably, to make a change. I've made that point about Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. How many more years can he bang against the door without breaking it down before it's just time for him to go somewhere else and for the 49ers to move elsewhere? Look what it did for the Eagles. They ultimately won two Super Bowls, and Andy Reid has won three. Sometimes you need a fresh start. Sometimes you need a reset. And what really got me thinking along these lines is watching Mike Tomlin's press conference yesterday. He seems to be unbothered by the fact that his team right now is not good, that his defense is the third worst in the NFL. The answers he was giving, they were delivered very calmly, very matter-of-factly. He just doesn't seem to be troubled. I remember a time not that long ago when if the Steelers had a loss where they looked flat or uninspired, they had 10 guys on the field for a two-point conversion, whatever the case may be, hey, we got to pull up Mike Tomlin's post-game press conference because it's going to be spicy. It's never spicy now. He's always very chill now. He's always very accepting now. And I don't know if he's grown weary of his circumstances, if he's gotten complacent, if the team's gotten complacent, if ownership's gotten complacent, if the fans have gotten complacent. I was stunned by the lack of fire that I sensed from the stands on Sunday night. It felt like a neutral site game, frankly. And I just feel like there's something seriously wrong. I just don't know that anybody is going to be wired to do anything about it.
Mike, I have about a million different questions I could ask you. I'll go with this, though. What did you make of the fact that both in his immediate post-game press conference, after his defense gave up all those yards, all those points, and in his the first remarks to his Tuesday press conference, where he's had more time to think about it, that Mike cited the offense and their inability to convert to, field goals into touchdowns, and their inability to keep their composure after that non-call of an offsides in the third quarter? He went with the offense as the first thing he referenced. He said his defensive scheme, too, doesn't need to be changed. They've just got to tackle better. I mean, I think both of those were incredibly eye-opening and speak to maybe some of what you're talking about here.
As it relates to field goals versus touchdowns, I remember a time, first of all, when Mike Tomlin was among the most aggressive coaches in the NFL with going for two right after they moved the extra point from the two-yard line to the 15. He was going for two all the time. And I say that because we're in an age now where we see certain coaches routinely go for it on fourth down. So when you say we took field goals over touchdowns, there's a coaching decision embedded in there not to go
absolutely
for it on fourth down at a time when going for it no longer carries the consequences it used to. It used to be if you did the unconventional thing and it didn't work, you had to worry about external criticism and internal repercussions. Now analytics has morphed the unconventional into the conventional, and we see guys going for it all the time. So the we kick too many field goals thing eventually splashes onto the coach's real-time decision-making, where he's not showing the same kind of nerve and confidence in his offense that we see guys like Dan Campbell make all the time.
Mike, I want to go back to Art here because we heard his brother talk about how they outperform the mean. And so when you do that consistently in the NFL, you're doing a good job. Things are on the up and up. If you had to guess right now, how do you think Art Rooney views or looks at the performance of Mike Tomlin both this year and over the last few years, where they've won more games than they've lost since Big Ben retired, but they've had virtually no postseason success to speak of?
Yeah, no playoff wins since the 2016 season when they went to Kansas City and won that game that ended up getting delayed to a night game because of an ice storm. That's the last postseason game they've won. I've had a criticism of the Vikings because even though I grew up in the shadow of Pittsburgh, I foolishly picked the Vikings as my favorite team. And I've said from time to time in recent years that I wonder if for ownership, whether being just good enough is just good enough. Because, look, at the end of the day, they're all winning on the balance sheets. They're all making hundreds of millions of dollars every year. The entire operation is thriving. If you allow yourself to become tormented by failure to win playoff games, failure to win Super Bowls, you're losing sight of the fact that the business is thriving. It's just kind of a weird thing where you can be a tremendously successful business, but also virtually and completely unsatisfying to your fans who keep showing up and buying the product. Think about the NFL product is. You know, like the Jets are raising their season ticket prices for next year and they're 1-7. We keep coming back no matter how bad the product is. What's wrong with us as fans? And I think that allows some owners, and maybe Art is slipping into this category, at some point you just realize, you know what? Why do I? Why am I losing sleep over whether or not we're going to a Super Bowl? Look at how much money we're making. Isn't that why we're in business? And I think as the business grows and grows and the profits go up and up, it becomes easier for people to find their satisfaction, for people who own teams to find their satisfaction in the fact that they are making untold amounts of money. And it doesn't matter if you don't have more trophies. We already have six of them. How many more can you fit in the case?
Mike, you know what you just said? Something clicked in how I want to ask this based on how you explained that, hey, if you're not having success, you're still making money, it's all good. By that logic, like, if you extend that out, hey, a really bad season or two here isn't the worst thing in the world if it gets us a quarterback. At what point is Art Rooney's allergy to bottoming out to try to draft a quarterback, and I think it's also Mike Tomlin's allergy to that, at what point does that get looked at derisively around the league? And I'll use this example. The Patriots have a very messy divorce with Bill Belichick. In that process, they draft Mac Jones. They get to the playoffs, but they realize Mac Jones ain't it. They have a really disastrous succession plan with Jerod Mayo. And in a very short period of time, having endured, admittedly, a couple bad seasons in a row, they now have a future MVP, it looks like, at quarterback, coached by a pretty good head coach and a very good offensive coordinator, all in a span of time where the Steelers have just continued to spin their wheels like a car picked up off the ground while everyone hits the gas and it goes nowhere.
I think there's a risk, though, in bottoming out. And when I say just good enough is just good enough, you still have to be just good enough. You still have to be in the conversation. You still have to be mathematically alive for a postseason berth through week 17 or 18. And if it ultimately doesn't work out, if we don't make the playoffs, hey, at least we were competitive. And if we make the playoffs and lose in the first round, hey, at least we got to the playoffs. I still think there's a resistance to being strategically bad. And look at the teams that have allowed that mindset to creep into their organization, most notably the Browns. They have had this analytics-driven approach, and they had a system in place 8-9 years ago where people got financial incentives to stockpile draft picks in future years and to push cap money into future years, which necessarily leads to losing. And they had the number one overall pick in back-to-back years. Once you let that demon into your house, you can't get it out. And I think that may be the reluctance to bottom out. As long as they're in that band, there's a band. And it's the band that they've been in for the past 10 years. 8-9, 9-8, 10-7, and just good enough is just good enough. And so it does keep you from ever getting a Drake May or some other potential franchise quarterback, but it also keeps you from becoming the Browns. And as we know, the Browns is the Browns.
Mike, my last one for you is, there's all kinds of conversations here about who really calls the shots on defense, who calls the plays on game day between Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, push and pull, tug of war between fans, fire Austin like they did with Canada midseason. Oh, wait, Austin actually has very little agency in the defense. It wouldn't make much of a difference. How common is that in the NFL? You cover the entire league. The fact where there's so much kind of ambiguity and it's nebulous and cloudy, who really has control over the Steelers' defense? What's your take on that?
The Steelers are a unicorn as it relates to control generally. Do we ever really know who's in charge of anything? And we've talked about that before. I think Art Rooney is much more heavily involved in the football side of the team than we realize because he doesn't feel compelled to take the credit or risk absorbing the blame. You never really know who's got the final say, who's calling the shots, who's doing this, who's doing that. But Sim said something interesting today on PFT Live, and I didn't watch the in-season Hard Knocks last year because it's in season. I really have no interest in stuff that we already know and see, but apparently there's value to it because he said Tomlin is dialed in. He's there in the defensive meetings. He's heavily involved with the defense, even if he's not making the calls on game day. And remember this, the head coach always has the ability to veto any call that's made. And unless we are in a position to tap into the conversations that are happening in his headset, we don't know what adjustments he's making or suggestions he's making to Terrell Austin in real time, even if Mike Tomlin isn't calling the plays. He's the last word on everything the team does, offensively and defensively.
Mike, in less than 4 hours, I'm going to get my nipples pierced, so wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck. And I was not referring to you when I mentioned numb.
Okay. Wow.
He's hearing veiled shots and he's hearing like references to him where they don't even exist. Mike, he's seeing ghosts.
Was that part of the bet?
I put it in the tweet, yeah. I said no numbing agents to really drive home the point that I was that confident in the Steelers.
You
winning.
Really wanted to do this. No. I mean, that's the thing. This is one of those, yeah, if the Vikings lose, I'll eat a whole pizza as punishment.
Mike, I said if Penn State lost to Boise State, I'd get a Brazilian butt lift. I said that drunk, but I said it. So I don't know where these things pop into my head, but they do.
And well, have fun tonight.
Thank you, Mike. Good talk. See you next week. Mike Florio.
A Brazilian butt lift.
Yeah, Donnie, what's your take on that? Did you know I said that?
I don't remember that one.
Before the Fiesta Bowl.
I do remember several tweets about Penn State beating Boise State because it felt to me like you were sending all of them in the hopes that it would work in the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I don't remember the BBL one getting sent, though.
Yeah. Could you imagine if we had to have a station event for that?
Is that why
Pony unveils his Brazilian butt lift?
Is that why in my time off last week I did see the Photoshop job done by our buddy Caleb?
Yes. Yes. Can you imagine the Steve Wilson promo? Some might say Pony's an ass when he makes a big take. Now Pony has a big ass. Come and see it as Pony's BBL is unveiled.
Sponsored by Shorkey Chrysler.
Oh, my God.
All right. Good talk.
Your ass would have been big enough for a literal billboard to be like, you know, an advertisement plastered across the back.
Or they'd like put it, they'd put it on the pants. Advertisement on the pants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They'd have had like the entire weather read on his ass because it would have been so big.
All right. Aaron Rodgers next. We're going to hear what Aaron Rodgers had to say about the Packers' loss, his reaction to Mike Tomlin putting a lot of it on the offense, his take on the field conditions at Acrisure, were they any better? All that coming up. Quick timeout, then a long commercial-free segment. We're live at Mike's Beer Bar for my Pony Pierce's Cancer event. It'll happen at 7:30. The event technically starts at 6. You can enter with a ticket at 5, and all of the money goes to a great cause, helping fight breast cancer, the McGee Institute and Research Center for Breast Cancer Research.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on the team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.